I've forgotten to pray almost every time. And so before I get into, you know, thanking everybody for coming, how great a day it is, Uncle C's birthday, which I'll, you know, get into more, but let's pray first. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that we get to spend a Saturday on this beautiful day to just worship you, Lord. And we get to be just brought nearer and nearer to you every day, Lord, and we get the opportunity to be in your presence every moment of our lives. It doesn't matter if it's Sunday at church or midweek at work. I thank you, Lord, and I just pray that you just keep your presence this thick for the entire night, Lord. I thank you for being here, Lord, and I just pray that you'll just anoint the words that everyone speaks here tonight, Lord. And you'll just keep planting seeds, Lord, and you'll keep watering them.
Yes.
Just keep giving increase. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. How's it going, guys? Mr. Kreuzberg, could you turn the lights on a little bit? I want to see you guys, your guys' faces. That's perfect. Yeah, and that one too. Thanks. I might be moving around here, so let me just... So thank you for being here. It is a glorious day because we get to come here and we get to worship on a Saturday, like I said in my prayer. Uncle Steve, it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Uncle Steve. Yes, he's pushing 49. So,
I'm really pushing hard.
Yes, really pushing hard. It's good. All good fun. Correct. He does look good, though. I have to say. So I want to just start by saying, I want to ask a question, really. How many of you want to live without fear, doubt, shame, guilt, like completely? Like never another second in your life? Yeah, that should be everyone. Well, if you stay awake for the entirety of three messages, you'll get to figure out how you can do that. And like Victoria, I don't know if Victoria, could you say what you said before your... If you could stand up and say what you said, because that was very good and it started with my message, so.
If it's what I remember, is that in the songs that we sang where it talks about us being conquerors and us being overcomers, how it's not just like a selfish talking about ourselves, but it's actually a, you know, declaration that God has called us to be in like multiple areas of the Bible where he said we've overcome by the will of the Lamb, with the empowerment of
Holy Spirit, yeah.
You know, ourselves, we can't,
right.
He empowers us to do that.
Right. That's awesome. Because I wanted to say that we were created to do that.
Yeah.
We were not created for fear, for worry. That's something that the world just tags on and tries to, that's the enemy trying to poke us and do all that stuff. But you were created in his likeness. It says in Genesis 1, I think it's 26 or 27, it says, let's create mankind in our image, in our likeness. And what that word likeness means is a portrait or a representation, almost like a carbon copy. Like, he created us to look like and be like him because he wanted to be in relationship with us. Because then the following scripture, it says that let's create all the animals and let's give them all the dominion. We'll give them dominion over all the animals. We created all of this with a breath. That was it. He said, let's give them dominion over it because he wanted to be in relationship. He wanted to walk with us. He wanted us to be co-creators with him. But, unfortunately, the sin of man disconnected us from that. And because we are so valuable in God's eyes, he didn't sit there and say, my plan's ruined now. Oh no, human sinned. Might as well just give up. He said, no, I created them with such a high value that I am sending my only son, to win them back because I'm going to pay the highest price for something that is very valuable to me. And if you don't believe that about yourself, then we can't get to that place of without fear because that's what God's heart is for you. And to understand God's heart and understand his love for you, you have to understand how valuable you are in his eyes. So, like I said, you have to realize that heaven went bankrupt. That word only when he says, I gave my only son, it means no one or nothing more besides, nothing else. Meaning that he gave everything for you. For you, and for me. Because he loves me that much and he wants to be with me. But unfortunately, we have kind of this, I like to call it, like we call it, we've talked about it in our church, it's a container. Like our life is like a container. Or we'll sum it up kind of like a cup. And, you know, our life is a cup. And as, you know, we're children, we're being nurtured, that cup is, you know, being filled by our parents' love or, you know, whatever it is. You're being fed, you're being kept for, you are good. But as we start getting a sense of identity in who we are, and the insecurities come in, and then you start believing lies that the world tells you, you know, don't get your hopes up, then don't, you know, do this, don't do that, because you'll get hurt. And it's all this stuff that keeps filling your cup. So now we're being filled with the things of the world and not the things of God. You know where it says, like, in the Bible, where that it says, you know, our cup overflows. He overflows our cup. But before we come to Jesus, it is just filled with muck and all this stuff. So what happens is when we accept Jesus Christ, we actually make room for him to be poured in. But our cup is still pretty full with the world. But he comes in and he fills it. And what happens is we have to come to a place where we can now draw closer to God, to draw closer to what he created us for. And by doing that, we start emptying our cup. And we start filling more of him in, more and more of him in. So how do we fill more and more of him in? It's very difficult. It's pretty simple. It's laying down your life, saying, Lord, I surrender, and having faith and trusting in what his word says. Having faith in the word that he said about you. Individual relationship. It is so important. Relationship is everything. Because if relationship with God gets you wherever you want to go in life. It brings you to a place of security because you're giving away all the stuff you hold on to. And you say, Lord, I am very insecure in the natural, but I'm secure in you. So empty and you take all of me. That's all you need to do. It's so simple, but it's very difficult to say that every day. And then when something happens in your life, we can forget to trust him. We can forget that we're believers, and we can forget the promises that we've read our entire lives or just read recently. And the relationship with Christ is really important, but it's something that you can't learn. You can't learn it from me. You can't learn it from pastors. You can understand principles of how to encounter him and how to set yourself up for, you know, for being loved. But it's really a personal thing that you have to sit down and you have to say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. In Galatians 1, it talks, this is the title of the verses, relationship with God. And it says, this is Paul speaking in Galatians, I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is something that you can pursue by just surrendering and saying, Lord, I want to see more and more of you every day. I want to understand my value. Why did you send your only son to die for me? Why? Why am I that important? And if you can't get to that place, then God can't move any further. Once we get to that place, now the Lord's allowed to pour into our cup more and more. If we don't, we stay with that cup just filled, doing nothing. And more we allow him to pour into our cup, the more it overflows. And now what happens is now we realize that we're loved. And now because we know we're loved, we're allowed to love others. I'm allowed to love Uncle Steve. I'm allowed to love everyone because I know that I'm loved and I'm secure. And I know how excited that I am every day that I get to be free. I say, I want everyone to be free. That is really what I want. Because it is so, you can't explain it. That's what it is. Because it's relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's individual for, it's your relationship. It's your relationship. It's your relationship. It's my relationship. You can't experience it through me. You have to experience it yourself. So So I kind of want to get into, it really starts with, you know, the whole process of relationship is really starting with starting to believe and to have faith in what he says and what the word says. So sometimes we don't believe, but we have to say, Lord, help me in my own belief, because I believe you, but I don't believe you. It's contradictory, but in Matthew 6:25, I love this scripture because it's kind of so simple, just the sense of worrying. It's basically talking about, do you trust that I'll take care of you in the first place? And it talks, you know, this is the scripture about, you know, why do you worry about your clothing or the birds of the air? You know, look at the birds of the air. They don't worry. They have their food. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into an oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? It really comes down to that. That faith is so important because it allows God to move to the extent of our faith. The more we empty the cup, which is the more faith we have, the more he pours into that cup. And if you look through Matthew, which I'm going to read right now, in Matthew 9, I mean, if you look through all of Matthew, anytime Jesus was walking around and healed someone, a lot of times they went and they just wanted to be near him. They said, if I only can touch his garment, I'll be healed. What is that saying? That's saying, I believe that he has what I need and he can fill all of my needs. He can fill my cup. All I have to do is touch him. That's it. That's all I have to do and it'll be granted to you. The amount, and that specific one is about the woman with the flow of blood. Her, that was all she did. And he turned around and said to her, because of your faith, you have been healed. So because you believe and trust in me, because you came to me and you trusted that all you had to do was just touch my garment. It's not even like his shoulder. It was like his leg. That was all she needed. It's all she needed. I believe it was just when Jesus came to the earth and did these things, and he's always talked about because of your faith, because you believe. It was so important because he was bringing back that love into the world. Before, we were bound by the law. A lot of people didn't see God as a loving God. In fact, Israel was super scared of him, so that's why they sent Moses. But he wanted to bring that back. He said, I want to show them who I really am. I want to show them what they can really have because I want them to have it. So, it says in Psalm 63, which is really true, and sometimes this is something to believe as well. It says, your love, Lord, is better than life is. Because without his love, life would not be. And we have to understand that everything in our life is based on the love of God. And when we can focus on the love of God, our life will follow suit. It will say, everything in my life, I will praise him. And I kind of want to, you know, I just want, you know, to kind of convey that, you know, the prayer of my heart for a very long time has been, help me get closer to you and understand your love for me more and more each day. Give me more faith to see you in the unseen things of my life. And I kind of want to tell, you know, a story that recently happened to me. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Jonathan. I'm 20 years old, and I just finished my associates at Suffolk County Community College. So, So, I applied to Stony Brook College, when I was still in my last semester. And I started speaking it out loud. Oh, I'm going to Stony Brook. Because I felt that the Lord was calling me there, and I felt I was believing that. I was believing that truth. I was speaking it into existence. I was telling everyone. Everyone at my job thought I was already attending Stony Brook because I was talking about it. So as it's just a secondary, they were like, oh, you know, you can apply to 10 SUNY colleges. So I was like, all right, the only one close to me is Farmingdale, so I'll just send an application to Farmingdale. And so a couple weeks later, I get an email in the letter, or I get email in the letter. I get a letter in the mail that's it. I got a letter in the mail that said, congratulations, welcome to Farmingdale, if you so choose, you know. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, but I'm not really going to, you know, entertain this because I'm going to Stony Brook, right? Right, I know, of course, it's Stony Brook. So then I didn't get a letter. I got an email this time from Stony Brook, and it was a really long email, so like, you know how like on your phone it cuts it off, kind of? So just said, hello, Jonathan, and I was like, oh, great. So they're not going to like give me a hint. So I opened it, and I kind of opened it very quickly. It was the grace of God that I didn't overthink it. Like, oh, no, all that stuff. It was just kind of like, oh, I got an email, and just opened it. And it said, we're sorry to tell you that from the number of applicants, you know, being very polite saying that I didn't get in. So immediately I was like, oh. And then all of a sudden arose in me. Is that right? Arose in me?
It works.
I think that's new, but whatever. This rose up in me. This incredible excitement. I was like, I didn't get in. It's like, yes. It's like, I can't believe it. I was like, I thought that was the best thing ever, but God has something better for me. So, see, everyone's out. That's good. Pass that test, you know. but it really hit me, and it was so confirming. And the Lord spoke to me immediately and said, "I have a better plan for you." And you hear that all the time, but when you hear it, like you actually hear that verbally in your brain, it's totally different. It's a game changer. I was jumping off the walls. My mom, I text my mom. I said, I didn't get into Stony Brook. She calls me. She's like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, this is great. Don't you understand? I'm not going to Stony Brook. And like, you know, so I was so just excited that God was speaking to me and he was moving. But he started to teach me about how this faith can really move us to another level of living, where now there's no disappointment, because anything that I fail in, Jesus says, no, I accepted you, and I have something better for you that you can't see yet, but you need to have faith to see the unseen, if that makes sense. So let me find this scripture. So I was doing this I was kind of like, when you make a message, I don't know if anybody else has done this, I kind of speak it to myself, and like, you know, you go through the whole motions of like timing it, and you're like, oh man, 5 minutes too short, and then you're like, throw some extra stuff in there, you know. So you're like, oh, well, it came out to 40 minutes, but I'm going to be nervous, so I'm going to be speaking faster, so I have to, you know, so it's really going to be 30 minutes, you know. So as I'm thinking of that story, and I'm thinking, okay, you know what, I'm going to kind of tell it, all of a sudden this sits on, it's like a magnet that my Pastor Marie gave me, and it sits on my shelf, and it kind of like faces me and on the desk that I was sitting at. And I just was looking up, like kind of like telling the story to myself. It's like I was there, but had to tell it to myself. So I looked, and as I was saying it, I saw this. There's multiple things up there, but this picked out. I couldn't even see it from this far. I don't know. Can you see this? No. Yeah, it was the same for me, kind of. So I picked it up, and it says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. So the way I took this, and don't know if this is correct, because I was telling my mom earlier, and she was like, wait, explain that again? She's like, I don't quite get it. So I was a little doubting a little bit. But faith, what I took it as was faith is confidence in what we hope for. I was having confidence in that I was going to Stony Brook. I was very confident that I was hopeful, if that makes sense. But it was when I received that I wasn't going, faith was also the assurance that I needed in what I couldn't see.
Amen.
So I then was now moving from that place, and I'm like, cool, Lord, what does that mean, kind of thing. So we kind of went through the motions. I signed up for my classes, did all this stuff. I come to find out that Stony Brook had a worse program than Farmingdale. It was more money. It was also, there's other things I'm blocking. It was more money. Yeah, the credits, right. Thank you, family. It was credits. They took more credits. So instead of going to Stony Brook for 2.5 years, now I can only go to Farmingdale for 1.5 years. So cut a year off of school. So I knew none of this. From what I understood, Farmingdale in my mind was just like, oh, okay, it's not Stony Brook. But I come to find out that all the people that I worked with went to Farmingdale, some went to Stony Brook, said they did not like it, the teachers were not good. So I was saying, thank you, Jesus, that I couldn't see this, but you love me so much that you saw it and you made an action. Now, experiences like that have to be remembered, because it says that we move from faith to faith. See, let me get the scripture before I go on to that. But I think it's Romans 8:18. Let me get that up, I think. It's actually not there. So God, you can take me somewhere else. So that had to be the number one in my life. That it had to be, Lord, I am trusting you, and now I come from this place. So then the next time I trust him, I move to this platform, and then I keep moving up and up. So now what happens is I have so much faith in God that anytime that there's an anxious situation, there's worry, there's fear, it's like, no, God's already taken me through that. Like, I don't need to fear anymore. But it takes that first step of saying, I have faith in you that you are bigger than this situation. If you can't get to that place, then your platform stays where it is. It needs to move. That's the emptying of the cup. And a lot of people, and people haven't told me this directly, but you can kind of sense it. They say, oh, well, life hasn't hit you. You're only 20, you know? Like, oh, you're going to go through this and this and this. Oh, and the tribulation and you might die in the meantime, you know, kind of thing. So the Lord told me, you know, write this, and I don't want this to seem cocky or arrogant. It really is just, it's called Godfidence with a G. So and I've heard that from someone. So don't give me credit for that. But he said to me, you know, life may hit you, but I hit you harder. So now, every time that life hits me, I say, well, you have to get in line because God hit me way harder. And that changed my life more than that can change my life. So now, this world can't change me because God changed me already. And it's finalized. It's finalized. He already finished it. The point of this conference is that we're overcomers. And like Steve said, or Pastor Roy said, is that you have to overcome something. But everything that you have to overcome, if you just tell it you overcame it, you're there. You're already over it. There's no more battle. This struggle that takes so long to just get over this hurdle. And it's like, and you have to go through the whole process of, you know, doing this and getting like five words, and you have to put in your time. It's believing and having faith in what he's already told us. It's about getting closer to him. That's what the faith is. Faith and faith. It brings us closer and closer to God. And as a result, things around your life that might not be fruitful start to burn off. Because if you think of, the Lord showed me this, you know, a couple months ago, was kind of like if Jesus was the Son, like the actual Son, and Jesus the Son of God. If you think about us like going towards the physical Son, you would start to burn somewhere along that line, because it just would, you would evaporate. I can't say that word, my mouth is dry. Yeah, you'd burn out. That's it. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah. So you would get there. So in the same way that when we get closer and closer to Jesus, that stuff starts to burn off of us. That stuff that's not fruitful, it starts to burn off. Then the fear starts to burn off. Then the doubt starts to burn off. Because you are now getting closer and closer to where he first started us, which is in the presence of God. That's what it was. So now we have to go there and say, you walk past the enemy and say, no, I have a seat at the table. Amen. You can't get in my way because I have an appointment. I have to go meet with someone. You know, so this is all just gaining the understanding, which is the love of Jesus. And understanding only comes from being with him. Because he understands all. So, you know, I kind of think about it like, it's like I'm not going to take driving lessons from somebody that doesn't drive. Right, so it's kind of just, it's like, yeah, that's correct. So it's that I want to learn from the person that knows it all and not be held down by the person that doesn't know anything. We must position our heart to him. That's it. That's all we have to do. We have to lay it all down at his feet and say, Lord, that's the whole burning off process. If we just lay it all down, that part's over. It doesn't have to be painful like we're getting, you know, closer. Lay it down and just say, Lord, here I am. That's it. You're there. So I just want to close out in prayer. I was debating not doing that just because there's more people coming up and I don't want to like close it. I want it to keep going. But I decided against it. You know? Thank you, Jesus, for this time. I thank you that we are overcomers because of you, because you loved us and because you are just so awesome and you're a good, good father and you don't want to see your children fail. You're incredible. It's overwhelming sometimes. I thank you for your presence here today, Lord. Like I said in the beginning, it is so thick. Lord, I pray that we will just not leave that. We'll go out from here, Lord, and we'll understand what this is, and we'll just keep sitting here because you're so willing to give it. You want us to be here all the time. And I thank you for just blessing this night and blessing all these people that are willing to come, not on a Sunday. I just pray that you honor them, Lord, and that you just show them some of the thoughts you have towards them, the thoughts of love, the thoughts of peace. I just pray for Donna and Phil as they come up and speak, that you'll just fill their mouths, Lord, with your words, and that they'll hear your heartbeat, Lord, and they'll hear just the words that you have in heaven coming down, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, huh? Have a nice round of applause again for Jonathan. We're not really applauding you, Jonathan, even though we are. It's what the Lord has put in your mouth to speak tonight. It's just an amazing thing.